Good morning. It is 10:04 a.m., September 27, 2024. I call this special meeting of the North Dakota Public Service Commission to order. Present in the room are myself, Randy Christman, and Commissioner Sherry Haugenhofer. Commissioner Julie Fedorchak is calling in and doing the meeting virtually. Before we get going with anything else, would you please join me in pledging our allegiance?
To the flag of the United States of America, to the Republic, which is stand, one nation, under God, indivisible, liberty and justice for all.
I don't have any opening comments this morning, except to point out for people who might be listening or here for the first time, when I say a special commission meeting, that's not because it's an emergency, but at the beginning of the year or the end of the previous year, we schedule our meetings for the year. They're almost all on Wednesdays. This one needed to be moved, and because it wasn't in the in that mix of the original annual scheduling, then it is no longer technically a regular meeting. It's a special meeting. So that is the only thing special about it. Well, one of the two only things, the other being that people that are here. Mr. Haugenhofer, did you have any opening comments?
No, I don't, but it's so good to see, well, I guess I do, you know, I'm making a statement, to see people here in the room and engaged in our decision or commission meeting. So happy Friday, everyone.
Commissioner Fedorchak, any opening comments?
I just, sorry that I can't be there. I wish I could be on screen, though, because I am wearing a beautiful Kelly Green blazer in celebration of you and the homecoming. And I wanted to share that with others who would be delighted by the color. And I'm in Grand Forks for some things here. And pleased to be able to participate virtually, even with the technical difficulties. If you all could help me see who's in the room, that would be helpful for me. And otherwise, I don't have any opening comments.
Maybe you could take a picture of your nice outfit, especially share with Chair Christman.
Enjoy yourself up there. I've a lot of good memories of Grand Forks homecoming weekends too, especially some of the parades and things like that.
Yes, excellent. So who's in the room generally, Randy, if you could kind of give me a rundown?
We have MDU people here. We have North American Coal representation here. We have Minn Kota Power representation here. And we have Casey Fury's firm here.
Excellent. Any media?
None.
Oh, all
but
right.
They're probably listening.
Probably.
Okay, with that, we have seven items on consent. I move approval of those items along with the previous minutes.
Second.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Okay. I have one item in my portfolio today. I move the commission approve bond release number one for surface coal mining permit NACT-1801 held by the Coteau Properties Company for the Freedom Mine to release all reclamation liabilities on 197.938 acres of land located in a portion of Section 17, Township 145 North, Range 87 West, in Mercer County, effective October 28th, 2024, unless a formal hearing is requested, and Coteau Properties Company Bond Release 1 permit NACT-1801, application case number RC-22-428.
Second.
Okay, so I think everything was very clear in that motion, but I'll add a few more details anyway. On December 13th of 2022, Coteau filed final bond release number one, and they were requesting this nearly 200 acres in Mercer County at the Freedom Mine to be released. The land is owned by Coteau. The bond release contains 126 acres of reclaimed tame pasture land, a stock pond, a wetland, a county road, a reclaimed farmstead, and about almost 60 acres of undisturbed land. For all practical purposes, the farmstead site is now tame pasture land. And the wetland that I mentioned has been managed along with the tame pasture, so cattle do utilize it. A Southwest Water livestock tap has been installed in the bond release tract, and so this tract is cross-fenced to facilitate rotational grazing, which is a tremendous thing. Section line roads have been reconstructed according to Mercer County standards and approved by the Mercer County Road Superintendent. The surface disturbance on this property began in 1983. The coal removal was completed from 86 to 87, so a long time ago. But portions of the tract were affected by SPGM stockpiles, a sediment pond, and haul roads that were used in support of mining that was occurring elsewhere. So the reclamation efforts started in 1988, but they continued on until 2007, when the last affected areas were ceded to initiate the 10-year revegetation responsibility period. The formal bond release inspection was conducted on September 26 of 2023, so a year ago. Participants of the bond release inspection included the Reclamation Division staff and Coteau property staff. I will point out the Mercer County Commission, the County NRCS, District Conservationist, the Office of Surface Mining, Casper Field Office, and our North Dakota Department of our Game and Fish Department. They were all invited to participate in the bond release inspection, but declined the offer. A notice of this bond release application was published in the Hazen Star Weekly, from September 14th through October 5th of last year. No objections were ever received. Coteau is not requesting any reduction in the bond amount, since this area is currently covered by a worst-case reclamation condition that exists for the entire Freedom Mine. If we approve this today, the bond release will become effective on October 28th, unless a formal hearing is requested, and that is why that time lag is, to allow the possibility of a formal request. A part of the reason why this drug on, like I pointed out, the inspection was a year ago, the land was planted, finished seeding in 2007 for a 10-year revegetation period, and here it is 17 years. But one of the things we do in evaluating the productivity of the land is compare it to other areas, and we make climatic adjustments. And you do that by comparing to what others in the county are getting. And we get that comparative information from the Ag Statistics Service, who get it from egg producers who choose to respond and fill out the paperwork, basically. And if they don't get enough responses from a county, we can't use them. And that is a big part of the holdup here. There were no comparables for Mercer County, and so we had to find other things so we could justify our climatic adjusted comparisons. So I did want to point that out, why the time delay. And I know staff is working on finding something else in that Ag Statistics Service information for doing this. So Coteau has demonstrated that all applicable final bond release performance standards, including revegetation, have been achieved. The vegetation establishment has been successful, and actual topsoil and subsoil respread depths have been verified by our staff. The topography of the bond release tract has been shaped to conform with the contours of the approved post-mining topography. The Reclamation Division recommends approval of this application, as do I. And just the one last thing, I'll point out, if any of you frequent the Beulah Bay area, when you turn north off of Highway 200, you know, you go a few miles, and then there's that Y where you go over to the plants and to the mine site. If you instead make that curve and go a few more miles up on the hilltop toward Beulah Bay, this is off to your left on the west side of the road. And I frankly had forgotten that this piece wasn't bond released. I think it looks good.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Commissioner Haugenoffer.
Thank you. I move the commission adopt the order in MDU's company 2023 earnings sharing refund plan approval, case number PU-24-177. Julie Mouth, second.
Second.
Thank you.
Can you hear me?
Now yeah. We don't.
Yep.
Okay. Sorry.
That's fine. On May 1st, 2024, MDU filed a request for approval of their 2023 earnings sharing refund plan pursuant to the Commission's June 6, 2023 finding of facts conclusion of law in case number PU-221494. In that order, it was stipulated that MDU shall file the achieved return on equity for the prior year, along with their annual report, that 70% of their earnings in excess of a 10% rate of return ROE shall be refunded to ratepayers, and that MDU shall file a refund plan. So they did file it on May 1st. On June 5th, we issued a notice of opportunity. No responses were received. And then on July 23rd, the commission discussed this matter with MDU during an informal. So we looked at those earnings, which I thought in the previous order, if they had earnings that exceeded, they had to refund to the ratepayers. And during the informal, they discussed two plans on that refund. Number one, this included a direct refund to customers, which would be over 2 months. And the other one included that a direct refund to the customers or applying the balance to the Lewis and Clark Unit 1 and Heskett Units 1 and 2 decommissioning regulatory asset. And then when looking at that, we thought, well, there's plan one, plan two. Staff subsequently requested an alternative method to the reduction in the regulatory assets where the life would remain the same, but the amortization would be lowered, reflecting the reduction in the regulatory asset rate base. So before us, we had three options, and not one of them is bad. I mean, they all have the benefits. So when looking at it, what is best for the ratepayer? That was my question. During this time, I think ratepayers would like immediate refund. They paid it, and that's an immediate refund for them. But the other option that MDU submitted too has value. And in working with that, and the staff does recommend that. Again, I could say all three of them have merits. And I am going to support the staff's recommendation, finds a method by which the refund is applied against the regulatory asset and the amortization rate is reduced to be just and reasonable. Like I said, all of them do have the benefits. The one thing that I always ask is, how do the ratepayers know whatever decision we make is how it benefits them. And I think it's prudent to MDU to come up with ways to inform the customers that there was over earnings. We were mandated to refund, and this was the decision based on the commission, but it's imperative that they know that they are receiving some type of refund and how it's applied to them. So I support the staff recommendation.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
Sherry, I have just a question on this. If you could relate what the impact will be now for this. I don't see that listed in this, in the order, but how much of a, what will customers see now or when this becomes final?
Well, this will eliminate about 11 months of the amortization. It does, correct me if I'm wrong, Chris, it doesn't affect the rate at all, or it does, by $4.44? Explain
so,
that.
Yeah, you're supporting the one that reduces the amortization rate and keeps the life the same, right? Okay,
right.
So I don't have the memo right in front of me, but to Commissioner Fedorchik's question, the benefit, I'm thinking it came out to be like $4.40. Yeah, I was thinking that was the $4.44 per year over the period of now to the end of the amortization period for Lewis and Clark and the Heskett regulatory assets. So essentially, the lowest total payback is if we did the immediate refund. The highest total payback was if you just allocated it to the last 11 months and nobody got a refund until 2030. And then this was kind of the middle on the thing where there's an immediate portion, which is about 37 cents a month, which doesn't seem like much, but $4.44 a year over a period of six years. So this was middle benefit, but it had both, it had an immediate impact on it as well. So to answer your question, I think the number was $4.44.
Yep.
So the options, just to kind of put it in more everyday terms, the options were to apply all of this to the balance of that Lewis and Clark, the Lewis and Clark facility, and apply it all to that and no refunds, but it would shorten the amount of time that we have to pay for that regulatory asset or that resource. The second option was to give it all back and not apply any of it. And what we're doing in both of those, so if you did the first one and waited and just shortened the life of how long we had to pay for that debt, you would be benefiting people later in those ratepayers at the end a lot, and the ratepayers now less. If you gave it all back now, you'd be benefiting the people today, but not as much the people down the road who are going to be paying some of these costs. And so what this option does, which is why I like it, is it balances the benefits out over time, recognizing that ratepayers come and go, and they all pay some of these costs, and so they should all get some of the benefit of reducing those costs. So I think this is a good option. I appreciate Chris taking the time to work with MDU to put it together. So thank you.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
I move the commission adopt the order in Northern States Power Cass County Electric Co-op Fargo, North Dakota Service Area Agreement, case number PU-24-181.
Second.
On March 3rd, NSP and Cass County Electric filed an application for approval of a service area agreement to designate service locations to be served by NSP and Cass Electric within and around the city of Fargo. On June 5th, the commission issued a notice of opportunity and no responses were received. The agreement between them complies with our North Dakota Century Code goals. The applicants contend the agreement will avoid misunderstanding and disagreement over areas to be served by each party, accomplish the legislative intent of North Dakota Century Code 490306 to encourage harmony and operational efficiency among electric providers, provide both parties with equitable participation in the provision of electric distribution services in the area within and around the city of Fargo during the terms of the agreement. Having considered this arrangement and agreement between NSP and Cass County Electric Cooperative, we find that the service area agreement complies with the North Dakota Century Code, and I support this agreement.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
Thank you. I move the commission reduce the application fee to $10,000 and issue a notice of opportunity for hearing in Montana Dakota Utilities Company Applied Digital Expansion, Dickey County, Public Convenience and Necessity, case number PU-24-330.
Second.
On September 11th, 2024, MDU, an electric public utility filed an application to extend service to Applied Digital at two locations in Dickey County, North Dakota. This is in the same area where they currently serve the first and second. So the location is within the same parameter. MDU has made a prima facie showing that it will serve the customers at both locations. Any interested parties has the right to file written objections based on the issue of public convenience and necessity with the commission by November 8, 2024. And if no objections are received by that date, the application may be granted as requested. So this is MDU applying to serve two new areas within the area that they're currently serving, and parties, if they want, have until November 8th to file any comments.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That ends my portfolio.
Commissioner Fedorchak, you're up.
Thank you. Can you guys hear me all right?
Perfectly.
Okay, very good. I move the commission adopt the findings of fact, conclusions of law and order in Cerelon GTL ND Incorporated Cerelon GTL North Dakota Project Williams County, citing application case number PU-23-325.
Second.
So last October, Cerelon GTL ND filed an application for a permit to construct two natural gas to liquid hydrocarbon energy conversion facilities, each with an associated 100 megawatt steam power electric energy conversion facility, so steam powered electric generator, in Williams County, North Dakota. On February 7th, we deemed this application complete and issued a notice of hearing for June 17th. The Grand Williston Hotel and Conference Center in Williston. On June 17th, the commission went to Williston and had that hearing as scheduled. I'll talk a little bit more about that hearing, but I want to describe this project in more detail first. The project, as I mentioned, consists of two gas-to-liquid facilities that Cerelon proposes to construct in two phases. Each facility will convert approximately 240 million standard cubic feet per day of natural gas to approximately 24,000 barrels per day of synthetic energy products such as Group 3 Plus base oils, ultra-low sulfur diesel, and naphtha. The project will produce excess heat energy that will be used to operate the project's steam turbines and generators. And the power generated by the project will vary with the age of the catalysts and used in the process from between 65 to 81 megawatts per phase. So they'll produce this energy products, and generate through that process about 65 to 81 megawatts per unit. So maybe double that if in both phases are completed, of power at the same time. The electricity generated is expected to exceed the project's demand during normal operations. So they will have a buy-all, sell-all agreement with through Basin Electric to sell their power generated and purchase from Basin Electric. Or they'll purchase through the Lower Yellowstone Rural Electric Cooperative, which is a member of Basin Electric. So it's a pretty unique project. I mean, and that's an understatement. I think in the process at the hearing, we learned that there's only a handful of these in the country. The size of this project, it's a $3 billion with a B dollar project. It is the largest investment that we have permitted in the Public Service Commission in my time here. The construction of phase one of the project is anticipated to begin in 2026, and the construction of phase and complete in 2029, and phase two is expected to start in completed in 2023. Commercial operation. This project went through all of the required studies and analysis and consultation with various state and federal and local agencies. They completed all of those studies, and I'm not going to go into detail about all of that because, quite honestly, at the hearing, that really wasn't the focus of concern. The focus of interest by the public was largely on the traffic impacts. And so through this process, after the hearing on June 25th, the commission issued a letter to North Dakota DOT requesting responses to the traffic-related concerns that were raised during the public hearing. And July 18th, DOT filed a response to the commission with their answers to those issues. All of that back and forth is captured in our order. Essentially, the DOT is working closely with the project and with the locals on the current traffic issues there, and the impacts that this project will have on congested traffic problems in that area. One of the biggest concerns that the public had was getting an extra turning lane from Highway 1804 at the intersection of 147th Avenue. And DOT has said that they're working with the BNSF on a grant application for a potential over or underpass at that crossing, and they are working on, they anticipate to be ready by 2025 for construction of that. So that would be done in time or in advance of this project's coming online and even getting into the throes of construction. In the hearing and the aftermath, I've been pleased with the back and forth with DOT. I believe that we're doing what we're supposed to do as a commission, which is consult with and work with the agencies who are responsible for these issues. But we are not those agencies. They are responsible for carrying out the plans and completing the the work within their jurisdiction, and the DOT is clearly responsible for the planning and delivery of our road and traffic system in North Dakota. So I am comfortable with the back and forth that we've had with the DOT and with the company's recognition of the concerns that the that the citizens in that area have expressed. They're committed to using that area, that road that is used most for the local traffic, Avenue 18147, only during construction and for deliveries, et cetera. After that, the main entrance is going to be on the west side of the project. And that, again, was one of the big concerns by the citizens. There are some noise concerns that have been expressed. And again, the company is working with the locals to mitigate those. And we don't have any criteria in our siting for noise for this type of a facility. So we don't have any noise standards to apply ourselves. So with that, and with the extra item that we've added to our order, where Sarah Lynn shall file construction management plan for the commission prior to commencement of the construction of the project, so we can see what kind of back and forth they're continuing to have with DOT and other agencies and the plans before they begin construction. I think that this is ready to go. I was pleased that the locals had a lot of positive things to say about the company's interaction with the locals, and they're listening to the concerns that they have. And this is an exciting project for North Dakota. It makes great use of a product we have in excess, which is natural gas, and it adds value to that and turns it into additional energy products that are very in high demand, and also generates power in the process. So it's really a very positive new project in this part of the state, and a lot of innovation and being applied here, and a lot of risk being taken by the people who are working to develop this project. So I think that they've done their work as far as our application is concerned, and I'm happy to support this project and wish them the very best in pursuing this to completion.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion?
I will just say, I think this case is a good example of the importance of this regulatory process, because it's not, and it shouldn't be, a situation where these kinds of enormous projects happen by direct democracy, where 51% can just wreak havoc on the lives of 49%. And because we have this system for a big project like this coming in, with the hearing up there, and as Commissioner Fedorchak correctly pointed out, well, first of all, on the scope of this project, because it is huge, but then that the bulk of the concern that we heard had to do with traffic. And I may have come from a unique perspective, because I grew up around a surge of traffic in the Mercer and Oliver and McLean County areas when those power plants were being built, when literally, like hauling hay time, we had the shutdown in the afternoon. You couldn't get out on the highway. There weren't opportunities for an hour or so, you know. And this plant is going in a kind of a uniquely positioned spot, because there are terrain issues. There's a river very nearby on one side. The state highway doesn't run straight north and south or straight east and west, somewhat parallel to it, but then kind of making a S-curve crossing is a railroad there. And so there's a lot of unique traffic features here that could really cause a lot of problems. And thank goodness for this hearing, we heard from that. And as was pointed out, DOT and the county up there, they need to use their expertise in traffic control, because that's not our area of expertise. However, if it wasn't for us having this this process and then actually listening to the people when they testified up there and following through, I sometimes question when something like this, if it were developed with no guardrails, maybe the company just saying, well, we'll work with DOT on a traffic plan. But then when they can't reach an agreement and they build anyway and the traffic is a disaster and maybe people are getting injured or killed, I don't know what the DOT can really do about it either. However, with the siting certificate about it involved, there are things that we can do if it turns out that they would decide to snub or not work with the DOT. And so I think this very well positions the assurance that those landowners can feel that this company does need to work with the DOT or else it's going to come back to us again. And two things that I just want to really highlight in here, because I appreciated the commitment and subsequent filings, were the construction management plan. I'm looking on page 7 in number 31. I'm not reading it directly, but the construction management plan will be developed prior to the start of construction and will be reviewed with the townships, Williams County, and the DOT. And one of the things mentioned in some subtopics in there is the construction worker transportation to and from the site with busing between remote camps and the site for transporting workers from a central location near or in Williston. I think that's huge. When you have a $3 billion plant under construction, that is a lot of workers going back and forth at shift changes and stuff, because it's not a matter of figuring out how many workers there are and dividing by 24 hours in a day. They come in, you know, a few real short periods of time at shift changes. And so now knowing that that's going to happen, I think is huge. Working with the DOT and Williams County is huge, and it's mentioned again in the order that they need to come up with this construction management plan and that it will be developed in consultation with the Department of Transportation and Williams County. So I think we have crafted an order that is very good based on a hearing process and Century Code that are excellent.
Is there any further discussion?
I'll just add a few comments that both commissioners have summarized things very well, but it's to hear from the public and for the public to be recognized is that's what we want. And to show the collaboration from when, not just the filing, but when we held our public hearing on June 17th, and here we are, looking at approving the order and addressing all those concerns. I just want to say kudos to the company and North Dakota DOT for really working through these issues in a timely manner so our siting doesn't get delayed at all. So, again, I can't say enough about that, and hopefully that continues. And it all stems from the public being engaged in what's going on in their area. So thank you.
Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
All right, I move the commission adopt the order in Minn Kota Power Cooperative Incorporated, Milton R. Young, Transmission Line Reroute, Oliver Siting Application, case number PU-24-321.
Second.
So in August, on August 26th of this year, Minn Kota filed applications for a corridor certificate, route permit, and a waiver of procedures and timelines for a rerouting two existing 230 kV electric transmission lines. Pretty modest reroutes in their current locations to accommodate Project Tundra. On August 26th, that same day that they filed, we issued a notice of opportunity for a hearing, and that deadline was September 23rd. No requests for a hearing or anything, any responses were received. So this project consists of rerouting these two lines. One is approximately 5,000 feet long, and the second, both of them are approximately 5,000 feet long in Oliver County. They have done all the necessary studies and analysis of this. The project cost is $3.2 million. They originally planned to begin construction this fall, but now they are pushing it back to the second or third quarter of next year. But we wanted to get this done so that they're ready to go whenever they feel that the time is right. The nearest dwelling is more than 2 miles from the location of the project. They've consulted with all the appropriate agencies, and there doesn't seem to be any concerns with this. So I think that the order is ready to go.
We have a motion and a second. Is there any further discussion? Sensing none, all in favor signify by saying aye.
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 All those opposed signify by saying nay. Motion is approved.
That's it for me. Thank you.
Okay. And when we are wrapped up here, Commissioner, do you have someone that you wanted to task with signing orders on your behalf?
Absolutely. If Jill could sign for me, that Jill Kring said, that would be great.
Excellent. A couple of announcements here. On this coming Monday, and actually it's Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, at 8:30 a.m. in this hearing room, we will have a formal hearing on the Montana-Dakota Utilities Natural Gas Rate Increase application. That is case number PU-23-341. I will highlight for people listening, among the company and the interveners in the case, there has been a settlement proposed. And what has most often been the case in rate cases, when a settlement comes in, now there's a lot less dispute going back and forth among witnesses, and so this, what we anticipated could be a 3-day hearing, will probably be much less. Sometimes it might be over by noon on the first day, and so if it is finished sometime on Monday, it will be done then. And so if anybody's coming to listen in on that or something before you make a trip in on Tuesday or Wednesday, you might want to check to see if it wrapped up on Monday already. Then next week on October 2nd and 3rd is the Lignite Energy Council annual meeting down at the Bismarck Event Center. On Monday, October 7th, I'll point out, and again, I'm just highlighting some of the things that more public are interested in, or more commonly participate in. On Monday, October 7th, we have a work session on case number PU-22-391. That is the Summit Carbon Solutions Pipeline. That's at 9 o'clock, not up here. It's down in the Pioneer Room. Our next regular commission meeting is Wednesday, October 9th at 10 o'clock. And that concludes the announcement. With that, we'll stand in recess for some questions from the press. But before we do, we usually take a break after that and then reconvene for the administrative portion after we finish up with the press conference. Are you both okay with just reconvening right away for the admin meeting?
Yes.
I am as well.
Okay, we will stand in recess for questions from the press.